Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have NACUSO's Jack Antonini on the program talking about the Vendor Authority Amendment and what's going on with it. So check it out. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today was the Vendor Authority Amendment, which has kind of come to a lot of people's eyes these days. And you have written a letter stating what's going on. You want this thing stopped. But just for those folks out there who may not know, who may not be fully aware of what it is, can you give us a quick explanation of what it's all about?
Sure. Last week, Tuesday, while the Senate was considering a cybersecurity bill that everybody basically in the industry has been supporting, you know, try to put stronger measures in place to protect consumers, Senator Warren introduced an amendment to grant NCUA vendor authority. That would grant them authority over potential cybersecurity issues, but also grant them very broad authority over all vendors, from not only IT vendors, but all the way to check processors, to janitors, to the landscapers, you know, that do work at the branches. And we just think that that's unnecessary, that that's a big cost and something that really isn't necessary for the NCUA to have to effectively help manage the credit union industry.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought there is that really in their wheelhouse to do something like that? I mean, I know there's already kind of a connection with credit union CUSO type things, so they're kind of watching that way, I guess. But to like to watch over a landscaper or a janitor or somebody like that, some sort of administrator, I mean, it just seems like so far left field, you know?
Exactly. And we're not the only ones that feel that way. Actually, board member McWaters, who's on the NCUA board, feels the same way. And he's spoken out about this back when Larry Fazio first requested the vendor authority back in February at a which was interesting. You know, there was a regulatory relief hearing that they held, and Larry Fazio was a representative from NCUA, and instead of offering ideas for regulatory relief, he asked for vendor authority as the top legislative priority for the NCUA.
Wow.
And I remember McWaters was quite piqued about it at the time, because he said, we could have asked for secondary capital to help credit unions and the risk-based capital. We could have asked for expanded member business lending authority instead of this cap that limits everybody today. We could have asked for expanded fields of membership. You know, so many things that we could have made as a top priority that would really help credit unions and their members. And instead, at a regulatory relief hearing, we ask for more regulatory authority. It just didn't make a lot of sense.
And, yeah, it seems like we're going the other way.
Exactly. And, you know, in terms of being out of their wheelhouse, I mean, everybody's agreed with that. Even Chairman Matz, who's been pushing for this for a long time, said they would have to add a lot of additional experts, a lot of other people. You know, that's a large financial burden that the credit union industry has to bear, because through the overhead transfer rate, the credit unions are paying for the NCUA. And as NASCUS has been pushing lately, that's something that needs to have more transparency. As, again, Board Member McWaters has been saying, you know, there needs to be transparency behind these budget reviews and not just something that's shoved down the throats of the credit union industry since they're paying for it. And you know, you look at what's happened, you know, part of our thinking, frankly, behind why this is being requested, in the last 5 to 6 years, you know, credit union industry has shrunk by 250 to 300 credit unions a year. And yet, during that same period of time, the NCUA's budget has increased by well over 50%.
Wow.
And the staff has increased by 35%. But while the industry is shrinking by 20%, it doesn't make sense that the NCUA should be growing by such a large amount. And we think that, you know, this request for vendor authority is just kind of another way to justify these large budget increases, you know, that nobody gets a chance to really look at in any kind of detail. So that's our concern, honestly. You know, we think that it is outside the NCUA's wheelhouse. They would have to hire a lot of experts to be able to do this. And today, they already have oversight authority over CUSOs that credit unions own, and they've demanded that CUSOs provide direct reporting to the NCUA, which everybody's doing. They've also asked, because of the contract relationship between CUSOs and their various vendors, that they have the ability to look at vendors and be able to get information. And that's something that's part of the due diligence process that every credit union does and that they maintain. So they already have a lot of oversight today. And through the FFIEC, the NCUA participates along with the OCC, the FDIC, and the Federal Reserve in looking at the other examinations that are being done by third-party vendors. And today, the FDIC, OCC, and the Fed have authority to look at other vendors that do cybersecurity and provide IT services and things like that for the industry. Because most vendors provide services for both the banking industry as well as credit union industry. And they have the ability to look at those. In fact, just 3 years ago in 2012, there was an examination that was done jointly by the FDIC and the OCC and the Fed on FIS down in Florida. And when they finished that, they had some serious concerns. They shared that at an FICC meeting, and the NCUA took that and actually sent it out to the entire credit union industry and told them to take a look at their relationship with FIS, be sure that these concerns that were noted by the other banking regulators were not a problem for them. So clearly they have access to this information and have the ability to do it today. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea behind the FFIEC was to eliminate duplication. And so, you know, that with that, they have the ability today to look at those types of examination reports that could help deal with cybersecurity issues without having to go in and do them all themselves. So we really think that this is kind of outside the wheelhouse, would lead to a significant cost for the industry, and is really something that's not necessary.
So why did this amendment, I mean, this is probably just the most ignorant question ever, but why did it come about? Was it maybe some, maybe, gosh, I'm trying to think of a better term other than ignorance on Senator Warren's part of addressing this, maybe not really fully knowing the processes that, and maybe that's, maybe is that the basis of it, or is it something else?
Yeah, I mean, the folks that we talked to on Capitol Hill, they think that Senator Warren was led to believe this is a non-controversial issue, and that through a simple amendment that everybody would be happy to grant the NCUA this authority. And she found out quickly that, you know, we as well as CUNA, NAFQ, and everybody else is opposed to this because it would significantly increase the cost for the industry. And that results in costs that the members have to bear. Either they get lower savings rates or higher loan rates. Somehow that has to be paid for. You know, we're nonprofit organizations and, you know, that bill has to be paid someplace. So I think she kind of naively submitted it as an amendment, thinking that it was a non-controversial thing. But then as soon as she found out that it was something that had a lot of issues around it, it was withdrawn.
Okay.
And as we understand, it's not going to be reconsidered. There were 70-some amendments actually proposed to the cybersecurity bill because it's something everybody wants to get passed. So, of course, the way the political process works is you tack something you want onto a bill that really needs to get passed, and that's how you get to slide it through. As I understand it, there's only going to be like a dozen amendments that they're going to consider, and that one was so heavily opposed that they've said that that one's not going to be considered now. So that's my understanding anyway.
Okay.
So
it sounds like this might be a big sigh of relief in the credit unions. They're like going, woo!
Yeah, exactly. I think that's right.
But because it's amazing. It's like, I mean, I would think the NCUA would also like, I mean, you already said that McWaters is like, wait a minute, this was kind of going the other way here.
Right.
We want to lessen the burden, not increase the burden. So it just sounds like a logical step. Yeah.
Exactly.
So
it's something we hope, you know, ultimately, as we spend a little more time, you know, with the NCUA, we've been meeting and talk with them about this. They're, I think, very comfortable with the way things are going right now for CUSOs. You know, they put the new CUSO rule into effect back in November 2013 being implemented. They're going to start data collection by the end of this year. Nobody has resisted that. They've been able to go in and examine the CUSOs that they want to. As we understand it, nobody has resisted that. So everybody's been participating and helping and, you know, not giving them any reason to have to get a new legislative power to be able to do more. So we think they're getting everything that they really need. They're getting the insight on IT vendors right now through the FFIEC from that shared examination report that they're getting. So we think they have everything that they really effectively need right now. So we're hoping that, you know, more reasonable minds will prevail and that they'll understand that this is really not something that they have to take to the legislature to try to get as a priority, and that they really do have the effective tools in place today to be able to oversee any kind of true risk to the industry. And, you know, there's only been a few CUSO failures over the last several years, even during the Great Recession. And most of that, you know, even through the GAO reports and all that have been done, indicate that it wasn't a lack of authority, but a lack of follow-up, frankly, by the examiners at the time that just didn't dig into it and go look at and evaluate what the risks were and what was going on at the CUSO. So with this expanded CUSO reporting that's in place today, we think that they really have all the tools that they need to effectively minimize risk for the industry without having to significantly increase their budget and increase cost to get authority over all vendors.
Yeah, we don't need to gum up the process any more than it already is.
Exactly.
I mean, because it sounds like the process works pretty well the way it is right now.
It really does.
Things pretty go pretty well, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
It really does. And we've talked to most of the large QSOs that have been through an exam. We've had them share information with each other at our annual conference. Mm-hmm. So the folks who have been through one are talking to the people who haven't been through it yet to help them understand what's going to happen, how do you prepare, how to get ready for it, how to make it a relatively smooth process, what things that they may ask for that are frankly inappropriate and that you don't need to provide that can be very time consuming and really are not something that they need to look at. All those kind of things have been discussed and shared within the industry. So I think everybody's pretty well ready and prepared to be able to help and do so in a positive way. So I think that, the industry is cooperating and participating and trying to help keep costs low and help minimize risk. And they're trying to do it in a way that doesn't cause costs to go up significantly.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine a small credit union? I mean, they're already overburdened enough staff-wise, resource-wise. I mean, a bigger credit union, in the hundreds of millions or even the billions, that wouldn't be too big a deal for them. I mean, I'm sure it's a strain, but gosh, a $50 million, $25 million credit union, my gosh, it's like, what? They're like, one more thing.
That's right. Yeah. This is, as Chairman Matz talked about back at the CUNA conference in February or March, this is the year for regulatory relief.
Yeah.
And we hope that they really carry through with that and don't keep pushing for more regulatory authority. Let's really make it a focus on regulatory relief. We think that's the right approach.
Well, it sounds like the outcome is a happy one in this instance. So let's keep that momentum rolling.
Exactly.
So just to kind of wrap up, what's the state of the QSO industry? I mean, like we said at the top of the show, it seems to be growing pretty well. Things are going pretty well for the QSO sector, so to speak.
Yeah, it really is. There's been several new QSOs that have been developed. And pretty much what's happening is when there's a need, a QSO gets formed to be able to deal with that. So there's, QSOs have recently been being developed to be able to help with the regulatory burden, frankly. So there's now some really good compliance QSOs out there that are helping credit unions to deal with all these regulations. There's a QSO that was formed to help to provide a mobile wallet type services, CU Wallet.
Yes.
So a good variety of things that are out there that have been getting started recently to be able to help with kind of the new opportunities, the new challenges that the industry faces. And it's pretty cool when the industry can come together, pool resources, minimize risk by sharing the risk, mm-hmm. and work together through a QSO to be able to effectively deal with it and still have an industry solution. And that's essentially what's happening with QSOs today. New QSOs are being formed to help with new opportunities. And I'd say you're seeing a shift right now as the industry has kind of come out of the recession, come out of dealing with charge-offs and with the, mm-hmm. The economic difficulties and things like that. And I think it's one, again, that people are more focused on opportunity. So the new QSOs that we're seeing are really more towards new business and how to grow business and how we can provide more services to our members. So most of the folks I'm talking to are talking about, well, how do we, help provide insurance services to our members? How can we provide added services to our members? And we're helping them connect with QSOs that can do that or helping them to start their own. So that's really what's going on with the credit union movement and with the QSO segment.
Right on. Well, let's not stifle that anyway. Let's keep keep that reel rolling. All right. Well, that's a good message to end on, Jack. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to chat with us about this vendor authority amendment that is having a collective sigh on the industry today as it's been pulled back. Thank you.
Exactly.
So very cool. Well, thanks again, Jack. And one more thing. My gosh. Your answers are so succinct and so complete. I wish you were on that stage a few nights ago at the Republican presidential debates. Man, you would have won hands down. Your answers are awesome.
I don't know how to do the political BS stuff.
You don't need it.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime, Jack. Look forward to having you back on. And again, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.